It's 11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House.
Those who do nothing are inviting shame as well as violence. Those who act boldly are recognizing right as well as reality.
All right, welcome back to another segment of Awake the Iron. We're actually here with two of my favorite people in the whole world. And no, I don't only know two people. I know four people, so... No, I know more than that. But two of my favorite people, two of the smartest people I know about all kinds of things. First, this guy is really smart about a lot of things, very logical. He's a man of many names and talents. I know him as the Sultan of Cincinnati, the Lion of Los Angeles, the Keeper of the Keys to Common Sense, CJ. Thanks for being with us, CJ.
Wow, thanks. I appreciate the intro.
No problem. Another person we have with us, she has been all over the world. She's lived in Thailand, China, England, Japan. Got her finger on the pulse of a lot of things. She's been to a lot of places and seen a lot of people and things that gives her a perspective that might be different than a lot of us. She's the protector of the Pacific Northwest, the steward of Seattle, the pilgrim of Persepolis, Karis Pratt.
I'm so excited that you're doing this. That's
me
great.
Me too.
That's so great. I love that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm really, really glad to have both of you with me on the first episode. Hopefully, you know, both these people will be on many other episodes, kind of like my co-hosts even. So, what are we here to talk about? Did anything happen last year that you guys can think of that might be kind of interesting? I think it was pretty boring year. No, of course we're talking about all the craziness with, you know, one thing I don't like to hear. I don't know if you guys agree with this or not. When people say, "Oh well, you know, we can't do this because of COVID," I hate that. All of the things that are happening to us have nothing to do with COVID. They have to do with the government's response to it. I feel that very strongly. So I want to change some of the language. I don't want to say that anymore. You know? We can't have Thanksgiving because of COVID. No, you can't have Thanksgiving because someone who isn't allowed to tell you what to do is trying to tell you what to do, and then you comply. So you can still have Thanksgiving. You know, that's the gist. But I've been shocked.
Yeah,
I've been shocked by, not by, you know, that there's some emergency. And if it even is emergency, that's a whole other thing we can get into. But I've been shocked at just most people's response to blatant infringements on what I thought were basic parts of being American. And people just allowing it to happen. Karis, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think before all of this, I had a sense of, you know, the pioneer spirit, right? Our country faced unbelievable risk of life and unbelievable challenges to build life. And, you know, I thought the American spirit was, hey, there's risk in life, but we face the challenge. We love freedom. And, you know, we're going to do our best to survive without anyone stepping in to tell us how to do that.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, I think I was shocked at the percentage of people. Now, I don't know if it's the true percentage because we often hear the most from the loudest voices, but the appearance of a large percentage of people who don't have that spirit or don't value that spirit and just fear and safety being sort of the number one thing they want out of life, I was shocked by that.
Yeah, I agree. CJ, what do you think? Were you like me? Were you just like blown away by people's response to just blatant, you know, infringements, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I went through the same thing, and then trying to wonder, why are people just, doing whatever they're told? But I think you touched on it, is that they convinced everybody there was an emergency. So if people are afraid enough, then that's how you're going to get most people to do whatever they suggest, So, hey, you have to do this because, it's not just, let's do this just to be on the safe side. It's, let's do these extreme things because it's extreme, and here's why it's extreme. All these people are going to die. All this disease is going to go everywhere, and all this is going to happen. Fear, 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 doom, doom, doom. And so, then what's just a little bit of, putting a mask on your face or, whatever it is.
Right, right. You nailed it there. And who would have thought that a piece of fabric over your face would just divide people so much? And people might point their finger at me and say, well, you're the one causing the division. You won't put a freaking mask on for 5 minutes. And it's like, well, there is a principle here too, right? And the whole, even if we don't touch the virus is this or isn't this, masks work or don't work, to me, that's irrelevant. If we're talking about our governor telling you can't leave your house, this is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You can't leave your house. Oh, you have to shut your business down. Why? Why do I have to shut my business down? I didn't do anything wrong. And people just do it. Well, I'll say this. Most people just do it. There are some, right, who put their foot down, said you can't just shut businesses down because you wave your little magic wand and say there's an emergency, which as far as I know, maybe one of you knows better. How do governors declare an emergency? Do they just declare it? Like, hey, I think there's an emergency? Or is there some kind of a process to say, yeah, that is an emergency. Okay, now you're able to do this and that. Because we don't live in a dictatorship, so either of you know?
I wondered if maybe CJ knows more about that.
I don't know. I know each state is different. Mm-hmm. But then there's federal, the president says there's a national emergency. But then the states have their own. And yeah, I know there are certain processes, they have to declare it, and then the council, or I don't know the specifics, mm-hmm. but yeah, I think there's supposed to be some kind of guideline as far as this is what it can be for, and what constitutes an emergency, and how long does it last, right. And that was one of my questions, of like, how long is an emergency?
Yes.
In everyday life, like if I ran up to you and said, hey, can you stop what you're doing? I've got an emergency. How long do you expect that's going to be? Like probably, relatively short, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, brief.
Come save me from whatever. Or when you're in school and like you got to go to the bathroom, you ask the teacher and they say no, and you say, but it's an emergency. And like, okay, well then it's just right now and then it's over. And So just to have an ongoing emergency is like terrifying. Like how is it still an emergency?
That's right.
Like, yeah. It makes everybody just in this panic and fear.
Well, we're approaching this is funny. We're approaching the 1 year anniversary of the 14-day mask mandate to flatten the curve.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what?
I know. Well, something I was going to say, tag on there about the emergency, exactly what CJ said, but also with that, definitions of common words throughout this whole thing, I think that's a big part of what I've been shocked by is that things we would assume, just like an emergency to be a short-term thing, there's a lot of other words that are seemingly being redefined to fit, you know, the sort of control that is being sought or the sort of shift of how we do life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
a big thing.
For example, the word... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask for examples.
Well, here's an example. Yeah. Here's one, in my opinion, quarantine. Quarantine is for sick people. I'm not sick. If you tell me I can't leave my house, that's mandatory house arrest, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
It's a complete violation of both U.S. and Ohio Constitution. It's right. You can look it up. I can't remember which amendment it is in the Ohio Constitution. We have the right to... We can move around. We can peaceably assemble.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I had a professional meeting, like a board meeting, and it was on Zoom online. And this was like 5 months after this all started, so late summer, fall. And people were asking at the beginning of the meeting, like, "Oh, how's everyone's life in quarantine?" And
yeah.
When it got to me, I said, "Well, I'm not in quarantine. I'm not sick. I can still go to the store. Like I'm not in quarantine." And the nail looked at me like I had five heads.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Other examples would be like cases of an illness. It used to be a case is when someone's really sick and they go to the hospital, and then there's a series of questions from the doctor, maybe a test, and then a determination of what they have. Now, someone is not sick at all, but they are required to go get a test, and if they come out quote-unquote positive, they're a case, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to get tested. I had to get a heart monitor thing done, and then in order to go into the hospital to do that, I had to go get a test, right? And I guess it wasn't the rapid test. It's the PCR test, which that's a whole nother thing. But right there on, I can't look it up right this second because it's on my phone that I'm using, but I'll paraphrase. And I took a screenshot of my result, and it says right there that test is not accurate for that kind of purpose. It says right on it. And I'm like, what the heck are we using it for? How unscientific can you get? The hospital is requiring me to get this test that admits it's not accurate for what it's being used for, or maybe not accurate for anything. I don't know exactly, but I don't get that. And everyone who's getting that test is getting the result and seeing that on the paper. I can't be the only one who saw that, but I do know that when you're, correct me if I'm wrong, and let me know if this is true for you, when you don't just swallow everything you're told and you think critically and you listen to really what's being said and things are being done, you're kind of on a higher level of alert, and you catch things that the news people say, if you're even depressed enough to watch the news. I don't. But it just makes me feel awful. So people need to pay attention to that stuff and ask, hey, doctor or hospital, why are you making me get this test if it says it doesn't work? Actually, it said asymptomatic people. It's no good for asymptomatic people. That's the part I forgot. And I was going in as a preventative measure, right? So I'm not sick. I don't have a fever, blah, blah, blah. It says it doesn't do anything right on it.
Yeah. Here's the exact wording because you sent it to me. It says...
you got it, yeah.
Here's word for word. This test has not been approved for use in asymptomatic patients, and its performance in this patient population has not been evaluated.
Thank you for bringing that back up. See? Okay. So that is insane. And so let me ask both of you. People have said this to me, and maybe you too. They'll say, well, you're not a doctor. What would you know about it? And I'm like, just because someone has a white coat on doesn't mean they have a monopoly on the truth, or that I can't ask questions. I know CJ is good at, I'll say arguing people. He's not really an arguer. He's a presenter of logic and reason. And, I know you've said stuff like that. Like, I have the right to ask a question or demand the truth or something like that. You know, maybe you can elaborate on, I think I read one of your back and forths with somebody who was saying, oh, so you're a virologist, I guess, very snide way.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I can't recall what that exactly was, but, okay, so I'm not a doctor, but I speak English, and this is written in English, so I can, I can understand it or not, or have a question.
Oh, I think you used an example. I think CJ used this example about if a zoologist said, "Hey, there's a unicorn in the parking lot."
Does
that actually make it so? Because they're a zoologist, and who am I? You know, I'm just a nobody. But I can ask, oh, really? Where did you see that? I didn't think unicorns were a real thing. Like, can you point that out?
Yeah.
And then people saying, you're not a doctor, so you don't know, is the equivalent of them saying, you're not a zoologist, so there's a unicorn in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't I ask, and why can't I try to find out? Mm-hmm. It's a really kind of a ridiculous example, but it hits it right on the head, I think. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, Karis, what kind of things? I know you've been active with the Seattle Truth Network, and you can talk about that a little bit. And what you do? You know, what's the point of holding a sign out there and have people yell at you and flip you off?
right. Well, I think early on, just as we were talking about, when using common sense and asking questions, early on, like in March, when the 2 weeks became 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I already felt like things weren't adding up from the beginning. But somewhere during that time, I guess I don't need to go into the whole story, but I got connected with someone who was holding a sign in Seattle. And I thought, wow, this would be a tough place to do that, because it seems that a large portion of people in the city here are kind of appear to be happily going along with all of the requirements and not really asking questions. So when I saw a like-minded person who was out there with a sign that said, honk if you question, question coronavirus or question the mask mandate. Yeah, I wanted to be there with her. I wanted to show that not everyone in the city is just following along with everything. Some of us have serious questions to our government for what they're requiring, I believe, illegally. And so not knowing how many people would actually be favorable to our message, I still wanted to be there for the person who maybe had even the smallest question but felt it would be risky to even ask it or even to speak up against someone else who didn't have a question or went along with everything.
Right.
I wasn't really there for the people who adamantly supported the main narrative. But for those people who are like, something doesn't seem right, but if I, am I the only one? So I just wanted to show, like, you're not the only one. And, yeah, a lot of us think something's not right.
Right, yeah. Well, I respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it takes some courage to do that. One thing that I've been thinking about a lot through all this is that the infringement on, you know, our free society. So, well, let me back up. I'm stumbling along here because I'm moving along a little quick in my head. First off, I assumed, and I guess that was my mistake, I assumed that we lived in a free society, or at least pretty free, freer than most places. I know that there's a lot of problems and there's some, you know, big rabbit holes we could go down about how we're not really free anymore and that. But if we are a free society, then we accept some risks. So I accept risks living in a free society. And I just hear so many people saying, well, over in such and such country, you know, they, you know, tapped everybody's phones and they, you know, following people around, tracking people with cameras and on and on and on, all these things that I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds awful. And then it's like, yeah. And their, you know, COVID death rate is really low. And I'm like, well, it is good if less people die in a society. I agree. But that does not sound like a free society. And that doesn't sound like anywhere I would even think about going. And then, instead of people just leaving this place and going to the place that seems excellent to them, they stay here and complain about why this place isn't like that place and that we should change this place to that place. This drives me bonkers. This drives me crazy. And I'm like, well, how about we leave this place like this place? And you go to that place. Like, I just don't get it. And well, why should I move? Somebody say, because this place is the only place like this on Earth.
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to go to be as free or more free? There's nowhere.
Yeah.
And that just, that's the part that just drives me crazy. It doesn't matter. They say, well, you don't believe the coronavirus is real? It doesn't matter. The governor can't make me, can't lock me up in my house.
Yeah.
He can't say I can't drive around. He can't say I can't open my business. Here's another thing. I want to give you guys a chance to talk. People don't want to listen to me to talk the whole time. But one more thing is I wanted to get into that people that are not medical people are requiring medical things of everyone. So, for example, the FDA says the face mask is a medical device. And the governor, who's a lawyer, says, you got to wear a mask, a medical device. I'm like, in any other circumstance, that's preposterous. People can go to jail for practicing medicine without a license. I filed a report with the sheriff's department in Franklin County against Governor DeWine because he's practicing medicine without a license. Actually, I asked multiple times for them to provide his medical license, and they have not. So then I called the sheriff. That's how it went. But I mean, I knew he didn't have a medical license. But let's say even if he did, it's like some random doctor walking up to you and say, "Hey, I need to give you this shot. It's a medical, you know, intervention, right?" And I'm like, okay, so you're a doctor, but you don't know me or anything. You don't know anything about me. Like, what if I can't have that? Or,
yeah,
you know what?
Yeah, and even if somebody with a medical license who can say that, just like a doctor can say, oh, here's a prescription for such and such, you still don't have to take it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So, even if somebody is allowed to say, hey, this is what you need for your health, you're still a human being who could decide whether to do it or not.
Right, you're right. And here's the big kicker that everyone throws out there, that if participate or accept this medical intervention, wearing a mask, then you could kill other people. So you put the mask on, you'll save people, right? Wearing is caring.
Yeah.
They have this sign at my church, wearing is caring. And
oh, man.
it destroys me when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, and here's a quick aside. I don't really have a problem with a business or a place like a church setting the rules for their own establishment. So we live in a country now that regulates what you can and can't do, you know, even in your own business. But I'm actually for businesses choosing to do whatever they want. If they say you can't come in here unless you're wearing a red shirt, I personally think that's dumb. I probably wouldn't go there because I think that's dumb. I won't vote with my money. But I think businesses should be allowed to do that. Is that you can't come in here unless you're over 5 feet tall. I think that's stupid, but I think they should be allowed to do it. People say, well, so you're for discrimination. No, I'm for business owners to have the freedom to operate the business how they want. Hopefully, if a business said, you can't come in here unless you're over 5 feet tall, hopefully nobody would go there. And then they would just close. And the places that say, you know, anybody of any size is welcome in my place, and everybody goes there. I think that's how it really should work. But kind of forget where I was going with that. But anyway, the freedom to... I was talking about my church and how, you know, they have the wearing and caring. I would be okay if the church just said, this is our policy here now. And I'd be like, oh, crap. Well, that kind of sucks. But that's not what's happening. Everyone is doing that because some lawyer who is the governor now said so. And they think they have to do it.
Yeah.
But they don't. They don't have to. Oh, well, they'll shut us down, you know, if we don't tell everybody they have to wear a mask. And they, that's true, they might, but you can fight it and you'd probably win. Lots of people have. There's just no backbone. There's just no understanding of the law, I guess. I'm sure you guys are seeing that around in your areas too.
Yeah. I don't know if I can just interject something that's kind of...
Go for it.
...kind of related, might go in another direction. But yeah, you talked about understanding the law. Something that's occurred to me is about our constitutional rights, the amendments. I feel like there's a misunderstanding of what those are, because a lot of people, you know, when I will talk about, hey, we have these rights that can't be infringed by anyone, they would say, well, yeah, but it's a pandemic, right? Or it's
right.
an emergency. So it's okay. Well, I think there's a misunderstanding among people that these rights are given to us by our government and the government has the right to take them away under certain circumstances.
You're right, but it's exactly opposite.
Right, rather than how it's actually written, and they're only written because they're innate, right? They're inalienable. They are God-given. We have these rights because we're human.
Right.
To begin with, full stop. But they only had to spell them out just to, like, you know, remind us. Yeah, so we're only spelling this out to be clear. Like, remember, you already have this right no matter what.
That's right.
And I think people don't understand that.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
CJ, what do you think about that?
And you might be aware of, what's your name? Peggy Hall in California.
Mm-hmm. Peggy Hall?
And, I encourage everybody to find her, Healthy American. And she said, you know, supposedly, you know, coronavirus is 99% survivable or whatever. She said, I don't even care if it's 99% lethal. We still have our rights.
Yeah,
right.
So she was saying, I'm not going to argue about the, you know, when the mask works, or how contagious the virus is, or how deadly it is, or how many cases, or blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't care how deadly it is. We still have our rights, and I'm responsible for my health, and you're responsible for yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like you pointed out before, is if there's people that, wait, I'm responsible for my neighbor's health, because I'm a walking death machine spewing out pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's really tricky, because you've got people convinced, you know, that we're all gonna make each other sick. And several years before, you know, they convinced people like the see something, say something, you know, everybody's a possible terrorist, right? So that ran its course. So now we've got another invisible enemy, and it could be anybody, because if you don't wear a mask, you're gonna kill grandma.
Right. And again, it's just crazy. Your rights don't go on a hiatus because there's some emergency, right?
Yeah.
You have your rights because, like Kara said, you're human. So they're a part of you, you know, being alive here and now. And that is just completely misunderstood. And again, this is a free society. If you choose to live here, which you still have the freedom to stay or go, then you accept certain risks being in a society with other free people. If you don't like it, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't know how else to break it down logically. If you don't like living in a free society, please leave. If you want to stay in a free society, but you're scared of you know, this pathogen or whatever, just stay home, I guess. I don't know why it's so difficult. Yeah, and why is your health and well-being up to me in any way? I don't know. I can't wrap my head. It makes my head want to explode sometimes. I don't know. What are some arguments against that you've heard, maybe? Or maybe you just hang around with cool people. and everybody's chill about it. Like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I try to hang around cool people, but...
Go ahead.
This kind of ties back to what you were saying before, but here's a question. Would businesses still have their policies and safety requirements, whatever, if the government, whatever, lifted the mandate or, you know, said, oh, it's fine now? You know, because a lot of them say, well, we're not doing it because the governor said so. We're doing it because we've decided that's our policy. So, okay.
Well,
so
see, yeah. And
if the governor says, today now, are you still going to require masks and 6 feet apart and only 30% of people or whatever?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think there's evidence that is not the case. Even though some might say it is, because, for example, I would go to, you know, I'd go to a store. This was before our state mandated masks everywhere, but they were pushing it hard. Like, everybody, you really should, and blah, blah, blah. Most businesses, actually, Karis, I think you were visiting here right around then, before the mandate. I think we were going to go to a store, and we called a couple places, like, do you require masks? You know, and we went to one and said no or something. But yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. At that time everyone was pushing wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask. Well, actually, the very beginning they said masks don't do anything. And then all of a sudden they said, oh yeah, they do. And anyway, that's another thing. But then
right.
it wasn't mandated in our state, but everyone 24 hours a day was saying you should wear a mask. But there were a lot of businesses that said, please wear a mask or mask recommended. See, so then when they made it mandatory, and the government probably sent all these signs and said you got to hang these up in your place, right? Then they did it, and then you know we haven't looked back since. I think even if they lift that, businesses are going to keep them up for a long time. That's my own observation, but everybody's so scared. We've been terrorized by everybody, the media, the government, you know, the Amish aren't unaffected by it because they don't have TV.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
That's actually great, but what I was telling a couple of people, I really believe this, and it's because of all the evidence there is, right, about the inflated numbers, about how there's no asymptomatic transmission, like all of these things, the changed deaths, the cause of death reporting, you know, the rules changed. How do you report that? And I have said, if we didn't hear anything about this in our everyday lives, none of us would notice anything different, right?
I know.
I mean, forget the mandates and the lockdowns, right? If if there was never any word communicated to us about what's happening, the fear-mongering, the hyped numbers, in our real everyday lives, nothing unusual would be happening. People would get sick because they get the flu. Some people get really sick, and some people die every year, especially if they're old and already sick. This happens every year to people and has for eternity, right?
Right.
So it's like, if we didn't hear these messages, nothing would probably be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the saddest thing
to me.
That's
a sad, true. I think that's true, and that's very sad.
Yeah.
And I ask, well, actually, I don't know if I've had the opportunity to ask anyone this, but I may have, I can't remember, but I'd like to ask people who seem to just be going along with everything without questioning anything. I'd like to ask people, hey, what would you do if you found out, you know, that, and you could interject anything in there. What would you do if you found out this whole thing was fake? Not fake that no one's getting sick or anything, but if it's wasn't a big deal, like, what would you do? And I wonder what kind of response I would get from that. Some people probably say, what, you don't think it's real? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking in my head, you know, hypothetically, that's not what I said. What would you do if you found out?
Yeah.
And then if someone said, oh man, I'd be irate. And then I might say, hey, if I can point you to one or two pieces of evidence that kind of proves that, would you be willing to hear it? Some people would say no, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, what do I know? I'm not a doctor, right? I can't know the truth without a white coat.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got maybe like 5 or 10 minutes left. I'm interested in, I'm not sure who all will listen to this. I wanted to start this because, especially us three, we used to have pretty good conversations, and you know, CJ was like, hey, maybe we could just record it and it'd be cool. He's thought about that too with other stuff, but I would encourage people who are listening. I thought of this podcast as a way to maybe reach people who haven't thought about any of these things but are willing to think about things. And I actually dissuade people from listening if you think everything the news tells you and that the government wants to do things on your behalf for your best interest all the time, this show is not for you, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know, it's for people who are thinking maybe something's going on, or you know, are willing. Like, for example, I talked to a neighbor of mine, and so it wasn't about this topic. This was years ago. And I said, if you could be shown proof that such and such was true, I said, would you believe it? And he said, no. And that blew my mind. Mm. We were speaking hypothetically, so I just said, hey, if you could be shown evidence that, you know, that such and such is true, would you accept that? And he said, no. And I'm like, well, I don't know what else to do in that case. I have no idea how to even respond to that. Like, I kind of shut down.
Yeah.
And sometimes questions and things that you ask people, they just like short circuit. I think there's a high level of programming that we've kind of been programmed, and we'll get into this in some other episodes probably. But I think I feel strongly that, you know, we're kind of being conditioned in a certain way for some certain reason.
Mm-hmm.
To not think for ourselves and not question things. You know, look at Google, YouTube, Facebook, censoring all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, what's that about? Why? Here's a question. Why would I want someone else to decide what's true or not for me? Why can't I listen to, let's say it's something completely ridiculous, right? Why can't I listen to it and then I decide if it's true or not? And if it's not true, then who cares? I don't get that. And there's some uproar, but not enough, I don't think. And the fact checkers took down your post. And I'm like, well, who are these fact checkers?
Yeah.
How do they know what they know? Are they human? Can they make a mistake? Are they AI? You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody posted something on Facebook, something that most people would, I think it, what was it? I think it was like, Biden has cured cancer and has won five peace prizes or something, like a list of
things
that aren't true. And it said, you know, I'll wait to see if this gets Facebook fact checked. You know?
Right.
So, like, it's not just every, it's not like somebody or some algorithm or robot is actually trying to find the truth every day.
Right.
Right.
It's obviously certain target posts.
Right.
Yes.
Well, here's an interesting one. Yeah. Just recently, my son, I bought some of those. I'm gonna plug this. I'm gonna plug this company, whether they want me to or not. And I've been trying to get a hold of the guys over at FakeMaskUSA.com. I think they're local to me, so I've been really trying to get a hold of them. I'd like to have them on the show. If anybody's listening, they know those guys, or you are those guys from FakeMaskUSA.com. Please get a hold of me. You can go to WakeTheIron.com and contact me. But anyway, I bought some of those. They're great. And my son wore one to school. He'd been wearing it to school for a while. Finally, some teacher snitched him out. And he got sent down to the office. And the principal, the nurse said that the mask looks too thin. And it is pretty thin. But the principal and I had a discussion. I recorded it, actually. Might have it on here one of these times. But he said, we got to talking about it. He said, the nurse said it's too thin. It doesn't do anything. I was going to say, well, neither does any other mask. But anyway, I said, how does she know that it doesn't do anything? And he's like, well, she saw that it was thin. And I'm like, well, that's not a scientific way to determine if something works or not. And he said, well, you know, he kind of stumbled a little bit. And I'm like, so I said, are you saying the appearance that something works is more important than if it actually works? And he said, yes. He said, yes. And I about blew a gasket. I almost laughed out loud. But I have that actually recorded. I'm going to play it on here one of these times, but it's a little bit of a long conversation. Yeah, so,
wow.
And he was like, well, I'll find out from the nurse. She's the medical professional, you know, and she knows more about that than me. Because the school does not, as far as I know, I looked everywhere that I could, the school does not have a policy about, it doesn't enumerate certain material that it's accepted or not accepted. It just says students can wear their own mask, or if they don't have one or whatever, they can use one from the school. So I asked him if there's any specifics on materials. And then if there is specific on materials, that means they'll have to inspect every student in the whole school district, which is thousands. Yeah, but anyway, that's where the people's minds are, I guess. I don't know. That as long as it looks like it's doing good, that's all that's good enough for us. That
the,
was really
the appearance of function, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I, towards the beginning of all this, I called the state health department to ask some questions, and even though, like, governor's mandate and whatever, they diverted me to the county, and they said, well, you're going to have to ask your county, because they're the ones who are going to deal with your, you know, your area. So then I get to the county, and I was asking about, you know, the mask and what kind, and I'm a business owner, so I was asking, you know, certain things about what I'm supposed to require, who's, or what all that authority is and all that. But anyway, just a funny thing about the mask, she said, well, honey, it can be anything. It can be a bandana. You can make a homemade one out of a sock. And she went on and on. You know, just, I guess she thought I was worried about trying to have a specific kind, which I wasn't. I was just being curious. And so then I said, oh, well, what kind of, like, how scientific or, like, why? Why doesn't that matter? Don't you think it'd be important that something would have to have some kind of standards or actually work? And she was like, well, you're going to have to ask the state health department about that, because they're the ones that made the guidelines. So they're throwing me back and forth, saying, well, I don't know, it does seem weird, but ask them. And then I called them, and they say, well, I don't know, they're the ones that are going to have to deal with that because that's where you live. So I didn't really get any answers.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's like almost like, you know, our daddy in the governor's mansion decides to just say something, and then everyone else has to scramble around and figure it out.
Yeah, so we have to scramble and do it for sure without any clear specifics, guidance. Yeah.
Right, and then you have, you know, sheriffs who, thankfully, some sheriffs are like, we're not enforcing any of this crap, you know, because it's ridiculous. How would you anyway? And it's all, I don't even know the world I live in anymore sometimes.
Yeah. I think, no, I was just going to say, this is kind of an overarching theme, but I realize, you know, I love truth and I value truth a lot. And I kind of thought that was common, you know, to all people. And nowadays I'm not sure. Like you're saying, these people who, if they know it, would they, you know, accept it? No, some people wouldn't. I don't understand where that comes from either. But I think why, you know, with what's going on, like why I ask so many questions is I like to understand. Like you were talking about earlier, CJ was talking about, you know, I speak English. I want to understand the words, right, and what this means. And then if something doesn't add up based on common sense or based on what's happened in the past, like I feel like there's a responsibility, especially on people who have power over us, to address those and to tell us the truth. Accountability for telling the truth is also huge. And so that's what I don't know, what I value and what I pursue and what I require is not the right word, because I don't have power over government people in some ways, but in my heart, I require truth. That's what keeps me asking questions, keeps me curious, and motivates me to help other people wake up to, you know, hey, ask your own questions, seek your own truth. Like you're saying, I think that's a human right to search for truth. And I don't have all the answers, but yeah, I value searching for them. And I want other people to do that too.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's about all the time we're going to have for this one. CJ, did you have anything else to add before we head out?
Not really, but yeah, I'd be interested in talking further in the future, you know, just getting into more of like all the medical stuff and viruses and testing and disease. I think all that's fascinating as well.
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. Definitely going to have you back for that. Could have you both. That's going to get deep, and, you know, that's going to be maybe multiple episodes. Even this, you know, we kind of bounced around a little bit today, but we could pick one of these things, right? And you could dig and dig and go on and on. Yeah, we could talk about, you know, the violation of rights. I wanted to mention the 1851 Institute for Constitutional Law. They're excellent. They came out way early and said, hey, you know, if you have any trouble with not complying with any of these, please contact us. They represent people whose rights have been infringed. There was an 1851 Institute for Constitutional Law lawyer on the radio, main regular radio, saying, absolutely do not follow any of the governor's ridiculous mandates. He said they completely violate everything that we can imagine. I mean, he was awesome. I think his name was Maurice.
Wow.
Maurice, maybe, from that institute. I know CJ forwarded me the that lawsuit against DeWine. I can't remember the name of the group that's doing that, but that outlines the whole how it's not really an emergency. And there was a document that was forwarded to me that was basically their argument. It was like 50 pages. I read the whole thing. It was fascinating. But it was really cool because it was a great resource. It really outlined all of the points. So, like, if anyone asks about something, you can, like, kind of pull that document. I got a PDF on my phone, you know, I can pull it up and be like, well, and it's all resourced and everything's excellent. CJ, do you remember what that was, that lawsuit?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, oh, okay. I can't remember exactly.
I know the lady's name was Pam Popper.
Okay.
I'm trying to look it up now.
Well, while he's looking at that, yeah. I heard, I think it was Michigan, I want to say Michigan, where some grassroots, like some people got together and started collecting signatures, and I think specifically it was regarding the emergency, the state of emergency that gave the governor, you know, such wide-reaching powers, and I forget if it comes before a court or what the process was, but it overturned that state of emergency. I don't know if either of you heard about that.
I have not. That's interesting.
Yeah, this was in the last month, maybe more recently than not, but I'm saying it kind of vaguely because I was going to look further into it and I haven't yet, but I was thinking that's amazing. And they were sort of saying other states, you know, why don't you do this? You just need enough signatures to get the petition going for whatever the action was. I can't remember the exact action.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah, so, you know, you got it? Did you find it?
No, I was going to say on that, like, it's frustrating that we have to wait for them to do something that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And we have to get together to tell them to stop what they shouldn't have done, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, their mandate is out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Hanging over us. Yeah.
Right. You're right. I don't think we'll ever be the same, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think we've been changed permanently to some degree. Things might go, quote unquote, back to normal at some point. I mean, my heart was broken over this. Just watching people just fold. And allow themselves to be trampled, and you know, me along with them, and, you know, just take everybody down, and it was really sad. Like it affected me really badly. You know, the coronavirus, you know, whatever. I don't really care about that. As far as, you know, like I said, I live in a free society. I accept the risks. If I decide to go out and put myself at risk, that's my choice because I'm a free man. But America, my country, my people, they're.
Yeah.
Being bullied, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
But.
And like you were saying, for something that has a 99%, you know, survival rate, like, what if it was 50? What if it was 10? Like.
Right, like CJ
you know,
said,
you
like
lied.
CJ said, Peggy Hall said, yeah, it doesn't really matter
how
horrible something is. Your rights are your rights, and that's that, and that's how it is here. If you don't like it.
Yeah.
North Korea might take you.
And my point was just that I might expect such huge infringements on our rights. If I were to expect them, I would expect them to something much, much more horrific, you know.
Than something that most everybody lives from, you mean? Yeah.
Now I'm confused. What are we talking about?
Yeah, you were saying that. Yeah, if our rights going to be infringed, you'd think it'd be, right? It'd be with something that is
something
more threatening than just about everyone lives.
Right. Like you would just walk outside and everywhere you turn your head, people would just be dropping in the street like flies.
Well, that's actually
But then if that were actually the case, we wouldn't need any rules to do because we would all cower in our homes. You know what I mean?
Right.
We would voluntarily take the most drastic measures on our own.
In the beginning.
We could see was so serious.
Yeah, in the beginning they would have had to have us believe that that was what was happening, that there were bodies in the street.
Yeah.
But you can find all kinds of videos, people that watched the news and they said, these hospitals are completely overrun, and those people went to those hospitals the next day with their cameras and they're empty.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you can find a lot of those anymore. Things like that are being censored.
Yeah, I saw those too.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is. It's like, why are they lying? Yeah,
why are they lying? You know, if you knew of one person who knew one lie. And let's say not everyone knew of one lie, but let's say 1% of all Americans knew about one lie. Well, there's 350 million people, we're told. What's mm-hmm. what's 1% of 350 million? Is that 3.5 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3.5 million lies. That's crazy to me. So you hear all these stories about people that got, you know, false positives and that got recorded as cases, and you know, Grandpa Joe died of a toothache in his heel, but they marked it up as COVID.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just things like that. And you know, I'm not saying everyone personally knows about a lie like that, but let's just play the odds game. You know, let's say 0.1%, right? That would be,
mm-hmm.
what, 350,000? Doing that math that I was doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
350,000 lies. That's a lot of lies, man.
Mm-hmm.
If someone lied to me once, I'm going to remember it. And I don't know when you can say, oh, well, this next piece of information is not a lie, I'm pretty sure. Right? It's like, well, I'm going to ask questions. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's, see, we could keep going and going.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're about at our hour mark. I'm going to be talking with someone from the Seattle Truth Network also. That'll be the next episode. And any other final thoughts before we cut it off? Could go on for a while, but not really.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
I would just say critically think, you know, just think about things and try not to jump to assumptions. But and that counts everything that we're saying, you know. So don't just take it like, oh well, he said that and he sounds whatever, you know. So just to think about things and try to have conversations that are, you know, well, where you're actually having a conversation and not just getting upset or assuming things about the other person.
Yeah, you're right. I find asking questions is very good, whether you know the answer to them or not, or, you know what I mean, just kind of like the whole, hey, if you found out that these numbers were, like, faked or wrong, like, what would you do? Like, how would you react to that? And then you don't have to even respond to their response. And they say, oh, I would do this. Say, oh, okay, that's uh-huh. interesting. Just keep the conversation going. Be good to people.
Yeah.
You know, it. We've been made to think it's me against you, right? But
yeah,
it's really us against them,
yeah.
against them. Who's them? Well, maybe we'll talk about that some more later. But okay, well, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. I've been looking forward to this for a while. I really appreciate having both of you on. And, you know, like CJ said, don't take anything we're saying. Just say, hey, that's probably true. No, look into things. You know, I might be wrong. I'll tell you this. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before about stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I'll uh-huh. guarantee you I'm not a liar. I'm not
uh-huh.
a liar. So with that, we'll sign off here. Tune in next time. Next episode, we're going to have somebody on from Seattle Truth Network. And just remember to, you know, awake the iron. And hopefully have you guys back soon again. So that's CJ and Karis. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye.
So, hey, thanks for joining us for this episode of Awake the Iron. Be sure to stop by awaketheiron.com to contact us, or if you have any questions or to leave a comment. Just remember, leave the hate at home. We got enough hate out there today. We don't need that. If you don't like the podcast, just don't listen. I appreciate it. But yeah, check out awaketheiron.com. You can also give us a call there. It's 601-654-IRON. That's 601-654-4766. So what did we learn today? We talked about a lot of things, but we have to change our language and understand the meanings of words and understand the law and our rights. So, for example, let's stop saying we live in a democracy, because we don't. And some people are like, what? Well, we don't live in a democracy, which is mob rule. We live in a republic, and we're ruled by the thing that is public. So what's the thing that is public? Well, that's the law. And we have to understand the law to know, you know, how we are to function and what our purpose is and what we're allowed to do and what government is not allowed to do. So, for example, when the Continental Congress put together the Constitution, a woman asked Ben Franklin, "What have you given us?" To which he replied, "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." So the people were responsible to pay attention, learn the law, which is actually pretty simple and straightforward. And the people are supposed to keep a sharp eye on government and those in government. Well, friends of the iron, we have failed miserably. We got lazy or something, we got comfortable, and we subcontracted out our decision-making. This is actually what inspired Awake the Iron. I saw a need to rally around a battle cry. So, Desperta Ferro, which is Awake the Iron. It's basically two armies on opposite hills preparing for battle. And they'd bang their weapons and armor together and make a tremendous amount of noise. And the purpose was to intimidate the enemy, and maybe the enemy would leave without fighting. And today we're in a different kind of war, not with swords and shields, but rather a war for your mind. We must stand for truth and reason. Truth will be our creed, knowledge will be our armor, and wisdom will be our weapon. With these accoutrements in this war for your mind, perhaps we can awake the iron.